Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubas that we're going to learn Daf Ayin Dalet Omid Beis and the Yirtzeh Hashem Ayin Hey, both Omid Aleph and Omid Beis, again to help us catch up for the Yomim Tovim that are coming up with Sukkah, so we can't dictate. So now we're learning today Leini Nishmas Joseph Renick, Yosef and Pinchas Zelig. All the Nishams we learned for should have an Aliyah from Omid. We begin on the very top line Ayin Dalet Omid Beis with the words Tana Rabbanan. Top line Tana Rabbanan. Chazal taught us in the following brisa: Holcha Eitzel Chacham V'Tira Mekudeshes Eitzel Rofe V'Ripeosa Eino Mekudeshes. If a woman had certain types of nedarim on her, which the husband said, "I don't want to marry somebody who is an adronis," but she went to the Talmud Chacham and he was matir neder. He did hataras nedarim on her. So we use the lashon of hafares nedarim when the baal does it, and hataras nedarim when the beisdin does it. There's a major difference between the husband and the beisdin. When the husband does it, it only does it mikan ulahaba, as opposed to the beisdin, they're uprooting it totally, and that's a very fundamental point, which we'll see in a moment in the Gemara. So she goes to the beisdin, to the Talmud Chacham, and he's matir her nedarim, so she's no longer an isha nadranis, so she's considered mikudeshes in this situation, as opposed to, she had certain mumim. The husband said, "I don't want these mumim," and the kedusha would be a mekach tos if she had these mumim. But she went to the doctor. He did plastic surgery on her. He corrected whatever mumim she had. So in this situation, ain't a mekudeshes. It is still considered a mekach tos, and she is not considered mekudeshes. So obviously, the Gemara asked the question: Ma being chacham lirofe? How come by the chacham you have the neder that is now matired, so she's no longer an adronis? Well, by the mum, she had the mum, she went to the doctor, he did plastic surgery on her, he removed the mum, and she's no longer a balas mum. How come there it is considered still a mekach tos? So this is related to the fundamental understanding that we have about taras nedarim. Chacham olker es hanedarim yikaro. The chacham retroactively uproots the neder, so the woman did not have any nedarim on her because of the hataras nedarim at the time of the kedushin. So therefore, when the man is mekadish the woman, there really are, in retrospect, there are no nedarim on her. So therefore, the kedushin is valid. It's not a mekach tos. As opposed to the doctor, he doesn't uproot the mum that she had from the time of the kedushin. What he basically does is he uproots it mikanu laba. He did the plastic surgery, so as of today, she no longer has the mum. Meaning, at the time of the kedushin, she did have the mum, and therefore it is a mekach tos at the time of the kedushin, and therefore ain't a mekudeshes. So that explains the difference between the removal of the nedarim and the removal of the mum. On the surface, one would have said that they're exactly the same, but if you understand the deeper functionality over here, that the neder is now considered never having been present at the time of kedushin, so there's no mekach tos. But the mum is still present at the time of the kedushin; it's just taking care of mikan ulahaba at the time she goes for the surgery. So therefore, eino mekudeshes. Gemara says, but we have a brisa that seems to contradict this. V'tanya, we learn in the following brisa: Eitzel chacham v'hitira, eitzel rofe v'ripioso, eino mekudeshes. Here, this brisa agrees with the part about the doctor, that if the doctor goes and does surgery on her, removes the mum, she's still a mekach tos and eino mekudeshes. But here, the brisa says that if the chacham is matir neder, it's still considered a mekach tos. How come? We just said that the chacham is oker at meikara, so why is this also not considered that the mekach tos has been removed? There is no neder on her. This brisa seems to say that the neder is still there. So the first teretz we have is Omar Rava. Now that's the girsa that we have. If you look in the Masoras Hashas, Oz Beis, he tells us it should be the girsa, it should be Rabba. And that makes sense because we're going to have another teretz from Rava in a few minutes. So therefore, this makes sense that this shouldn't be a first teretz of Rava, then a second teretz of Rava. The first teretz is actually not Rava, it's Rabba. So Rabba says, Lo Kasha, Harib Meyev, Harib Elozer. There are two different opinions over here. The first brisa is going to be one opinion. The second brisa is going to be the second opinion. So the first brisa is Rabbeya. The second brisa is this opinion of Rilozer. What is that? Ha Rabbeya, the first brisa, which says that the chacham is oker, the neder meyikara, and therefore there was no mekach tos, that goes according to the opinion of Meir. The Amar Adam Roshet, this is Baz, the Ishto Bevesten. A man is not upset if his wife goes to the Bevesten and is being matir neder. So therefore, even though it's going to come at the expense of his wife having to be in public, which again, kol kvudu asmelech penima, this wasn't the normal way in those days for a woman to be in public, even though this would be a bizayon to a certain extent to have his wife go out in public and to be matir her neder, nevertheless, he doesn't mind that. And therefore, he'll be okay with her going to the Talmud Chacham, and therefore, at the time that he was Mekadesh, he said that she shouldn't have Nadarim. This includes even if the Nadarim are uprooted by going out in public and being Mizbazet. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Ha, Rabbi Elazar, the second Brisa that says, no, even if the based in Ismatir and Eder, Eina Mekudeshes, is because the Binyan doesn't want that to happen. So at the time he said, my wife should be Mekudeshes to me. If she doesn't have Nedarim, even if those Nedarim are uprooted by a based in, that's not the type of wife that I want. So this is the understanding, the difference between the Braisa in the first situation, where the woman is considered no longer Mekach Tos because it's been uprooted, because that's Rav Meir who says, I don't mind if she goes to the based in. And the second Braisa, which says, no, even though it's uprooted, she's still considered a Mekach Tos because that's the opinion of Rav Blasi. He doesn't want his wife to go to the based in. And therefore, when he's Mekadosh, it's the understanding that she doesn't have Nedarim, or even if she doesn't have Nedarim because she goes to a based in, I don't want her to go to the based in. Now, what is this Machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Blasi? Mahi. Etnan, this is a Mishnah in Gittin. It says over there, Etnan, Hamotzi is Ishto Mishum Neder. If a man goes and divorces his wife because he says she has Nedarim, and I don't want to have a wife who has Nedarim, and therefore he wants to divorce her, so he's never allowed to take her back. Lo Yachzer. The din is that he's not allowed to go take her back. Rashi brings two reasons why he can't take her back. The first one is that there's a potential that if he finds out that he's allowed to go and be matir in the Nedarim, he's going to say, oh, I wouldn't have divorced her even for a mea mana. Rashi says, afilu nostanli mea mana lo yisi megarshech. I wouldn't have divorced her. So if he's allowed to go take her back, he's going to say, I never would have divorced her. And then that's going to lead to a kilkel, because they're going to say, in retrospect, the divorce wasn't a real divorce, and now she married somebody else. It's not a real marriage, and those children are mamzerim. So because of this kilkel aspect, we tell him that if you're divorcing her because of Nedarim, you should know that even if she's Mati Neder, or if you say, oh, if I'd known that she'd been Mati Neder, could be Mati Neder, I wouldn't have divorced her, it doesn't work. Lo yachzer. The second reason Rashi brings down is because we don't want women to do this. And therefore, we say that a woman can't do this. And even if she's going to be matineh, that you should know that if you're divorcing her for this reason, you can never take her back. And likewise, mishum shemra. If the person had thought that his wife had a bad reputation, and that's why he's divorcing her. So even if you find that afterwards, she doesn't have a bad reputation. It was all falsehood. It was all rumors. She says, oh, if I'd known that, I never would have divorced her. So lo yachzer, he's not allowed to take her back. And we tell such a person that he should be very, very careful. Lefikach omim lo, Rashi says, have a yodeh, you should know. Shamotzi is ishtu, mishum motzi shemer, o mishum neder, lo yachzer. You can never take her back. And therefore, and if you really like her, don't go and divorce her. That's the opinion of the Tana Kama. Review the disagrees. Review the Omer. Kol neder shiyadubo rabim. He says, if this is something that was a neder that was known in public, it was known in the rabim, as Rashi says, she did draw so bifnei asor. She made this neder in front of 10 people, so then lo yachzer. Then you're not allowed to go and take it back. Rashi says, kusavar taima mishum shlo yu perutzos bin adarm. His wife is now publicly known as a woman who makes the darm, and he doesn't want to have such a wife. And this is a type of neder that doesn't have hafara, therefore he's not allowed to go and take her back. However, lo yadu barabim, as Rashi says, the yesh lo hafara, this can be undone. There is a potential to go and do hataras the darm on this. And therefore, in this situation, they didn't make a knas on him, he's allowed to go take her back, yachzer. Rashi says, lo konsua. He's only concerned about the pritzostik aspect. He's not concerned about the kilkula aspect. So that's the opinion of the Tana Kama. Now, Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir kol neder shetzore chakiras chacham. If it requires a chacham to go and find the Pesach, so then lo yachzer, because he'll say, I didn't know that a chacham could do that. And therefore, we're concerned that he'll say, oh, if I'd known that, I would never have divorced her, and that could lead to a kilkul. But if it's a type of vow that the husband can do himself, it doesn't require a taurus nedarim by a rav, based in, but he could do it himself, so yachzer, because everybody knows that you're allowed to do that, and therefore, there's no concern. He's going to come along and say, oh, I never would have divorced her if I'd known that I could do that. Everybody knows that he can do that. Now, the next part that's in parentheses, we're not going to be gores. There is a different gears in the Masoras HaShas, which we'll read, which tells us, Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo asru zeh ela b'pnei zeh, that one was only asa because of the other. And what is that? So now we continue reading after the parentheses, Amar Rabbi Elazar, he says, lo asru tzarich ela b'nei she'eno tzarich. This is the exact opposite of what we just said. That Rabbi Elazar holds that lo asru tzarich, as Rashi says, the chakiras chacham, they didn't forbid you to go and do Hataras Nedarim with the time of Chacham, only Ela B'nei She'eino Tzarech, because of She'eino Tzarech, which is, you don't require a Hataras based in, but you could have the husband himself do Hafaras Nedarim, because he would argue, everybody knows the basic and do it, but I didn't know that I could be made for her Neder. And therefore, he would say, if I'd known I could be made for the Neder, I never would have gone and divorced her. So, that's what Rabbi Elazar holds. Bottom line is, We'll see from here. This is the machlokis as to whether a person wants to be, have his wife be mizvaza and beisted. Rabbi Meir holds, I don't mind if my wife is mizvaza and beisted, and therefore, kol nevesh yitzor v'chakiras chacham lo yachzir, because he would in fact not mind if his wife went. Therefore, we tell him, you can't go take her back. You should know you can't take her back. And you can't tie an afterwards. If I'd known that I could go to be Hataras and Dharm, I never would have divorced her. So there won't be any kilkel. And the second reason, there won't be a concern of Prutzos be Arayas and Dharm. As opposed to Rabbi Elazar, he says, no, man doesn't want his wife to go Mizbaz with Basin. And therefore, if it were only because of the Hataras and Dharm, we would actually allow it. But we don't allow it either because of the Hafaras and Dharm. And that is something that he could argue that he doesn't know about. And therefore, in that situation, he would possibly lead to a kilkel, and therefore we don't allow either one of the two. As an aside, the Gemara says, my time of the Yehuda, what's the reason of Yehuda? Rashi says, the Omar, neder shehuda b'rabim in lafar, that if it's a public neder, there is no ataron, and we turn to Ayin Hamad Aleph. This is based upon the pasuk, which we have in Yehoshua, where it says, v'lo hikum b'nei Yisrael, Klai Yisrael did not hit the Givonim, ki nishbu lahem nisiyah edu. When the Givonim came and tricked Yehoshua and said, oh, we're not from Eretz Yisrael, we're from far away. So Klai Yisrael didn't go and kill them because they made a shvua, ki nishbu lahem nisiyah ha'edo. And ha'edo means in public. And edo, we learn out, is 10 people. The Kabarabim, so now we're going to have that question. Exactly how much is considered in public that you can't be made for such an ad there? So we have two opinions. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, that it's three people, Shlosha. And this is based upon the days of Ziva, where it says Yomim Rabim. So Yomim implies 2 days, and Rabim implies 3 days. That's the difference between a Ziva Ketana and a Ziva Gedola. So Rabim would imply three. So the public is three. Rabbi Yitzchak Omar, he says, no, Asara, this is based upon Eda, like I just said, the 10 people, Ksiv Behu, where it's written by the Meraglim that there was an Eda. And Eda, that's how we learn out the concept of a minion as well, that it has to be 10 people. That's considered Rabin. In any event, that's Rabbi Yehuda Svar. Now, let's get back to the machlokis that we had between Rav Meir and Rabbi Elazar. So we had understood this as Rav Meir Omer, Kol Nevesh Tzarech Hakiras Chacham Lo Yachzir, and Rabbi Elazar Omer, Lo Asru Tzarech El Mei She'enu Tzarech, that he had a different understanding. And I had already explained what this means, and now the Gemara is going to explain it inside of here. But my commitment, what is this machlokis that Rav Meir and Rabbi Elazar have? So Rav Meir Savar, he holds, Odom Rotzeh Shetiz Baza Ishto Beveisin. A man doesn't mind if his wife has to be publicly embarrassed by going to the Beis Din. And therefore, he would have no problem with her going to the Beis Din and having her Hataras Nadarm there. And therefore, he could argue, oh, if I know that you could do Hataras Nadarm, I never would have divorced my wife. You didn't even give me 100 mana. I never would have divorced her. And therefore, to prevent this kilkel that could occur, so we let him know that you're never allowed to go and take her back if you divorce her, either because of Nadarim or because of Motzi Shemra. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Elazar Savar, in other Motzish, this is Baza Ishto Bebeisin. A man never wants his wife to be embarrassed by going to a Beis Din. He doesn't want his wife out there. And therefore, if that were the only reason, so then we, in fact, would not say he couldn't take her back because there's no concern. He never would have wanted her to go and do Ataras Nedarim. He can't argue, oh, if I'd known, I would have had to do Ataras Nedarim. No, you wouldn't have. So then why don't we allow him to take her back? It's because of the Hafaras Nedarim aspect. The husband, he says, oh, I didn't know I could be made for her nether. If I'd known I could be made for nether, then I would have gone and been made for a nether. So since the made for nether is valid, so therefore he says, we don't let them do Hataras Nedarim because of the concern of made for Nedarim. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar says both of them, we don't allow either one to go and take back the wife in either situation, even though we're not really concerned about Hataras Nedarim, because Ein Odom Rotzeh Shetiz Baza Ishto Beveisin. Okay. Now we have a second teretz to the stira between the two brises. Now one brisa could say that the basin could be matted in Eder, and it's no longer a Mekach Tos. And the second brisa could say, no, it is a Mekach Tos still in any event. So here we have Rav Amar. I said before, remember, it was the Girsa, it should have been Rabba. So that's why, because here we have Rav Amar. And Rav tells us, you know what we're talking about over here in the second brisa, where we said that it's still a Mekach Tos, it's because the man would say, Hacha b'isha chashuva askinon, the Amar lo nichali, the itza b'krovoseha. When I said, I don't want this woman to have Nedarim on her, if I can't marry her, well, there are other people in her family, since she's such an Isha Chashuva, that I would want to marry. So don't tell me that you've uprooted these Nedarim. I don't want to marry a woman who has such Nedarim on her. but I would want to marry the rest of her family. So therefore, don't tell me that it's a mekach tos and we're married, and now, since I don't want such a woman, I have to divorce her. Once I divorce her, then I can't marry her sister, I can't marry her mother, I can't marry other relatives of her, and she's an ishul chashuva, and I would like to be married possibly into this family, and therefore, that's why the second brisa says that it's still a mekach tos, because bottom line is, the person says, if I can't marry her because she's an adranis, I don't want to divorce her. I just don't want to marry her. I want to still be eligible to marry other members of her family. The first brisa is talking about when it's not an isha chashuva, and therefore it's no big deal. Even if you say that the kedushin are valid, if I don't want to stay married to her, I'll divorce her. I don't really want to marry her sister, her mother, etc., because she's not from an isha chashuva's family. Mor says, if that's true, then keep on reading Ihachi Seifa. In the Seifa that price, so the next part it says, Diktani, Abel, who, if it's the husband, Shahalach Eitzel Chacham Vitiro, the husband, for whatever the reason, had said, you don't have to marry me if I have Nadarim, and then it turns out that he has Nadarim, so he's Matir Neder, so then in that situation, we should say the same thing, just like the first part of the price is talking about Anisha Chashuva, the second part of the price is talking about the man's Adam Chashuv, and she should say, listen, I don't want to be married to him, because if I don't want a man that has Nadarim, he's going to divorce me, so then I won't be able to marry his brother, his father, etc. So if the first part is talking about an Isha Chashuva, the second part should be talking about an Adam Chashuv, and therefore the same rule should apply. But in the Sefer the Brayis, it says, Avol Halachu Eitzel Chacham V'Tiru, it'll be Mikudeshes. It says, if it goes Eitzel Rav V'Ribio, so Mikudeshes. In both of these situations, he doesn't have a mum, he doesn't have any sort of a Nadarim on him, so the Kiddushin is Chal. But why don't we say, listen, ain't a mikudeshes? We should say the same, like by the woman, ain't a mikudeshes, because we're dealing with the chash of a man. And she doesn't want to be divorced from him, because then, if you say the kedushin are valid, but she doesn't want to be married to such a person, she asks basically to give her a divorce, and they force this guy to give her a divorce, she won't be able to marry his brother, she won't be able to marry his father. The Amra, lo nichali diitza bikreve. So we should say the same thing in the Sefer, but we don't. In the Sefer it says mikudeshes. So where it says, no. There's a famous principle over here. Reish Lakish is a famous principle. We had this many times beforehand. We have it again now. In regards to a woman, b'chol dehu nichola. She would rather be married than be single. Okay, the Reish Lakish, like Reish Lakish has taught us, of Reish Lakish, tav lemesav tando, me lemesav armelu. Very poetic and famous statement. A woman would prefer to be tando, as two, with two people. In other words, she would prefer to be a married couple rather than to sit alone by herself. So a woman would always prefer to be married, and that's our default position over here. We don't say, well, she would rather not be married and take the chance she'll marry somebody else. No, she would rather be married now and not worry about being married to someone else later on. Therefore, by the woman, the din is mikudashes over here, whereas by the man, he says, no, I don't want such a woman, and since she's from a chosh of a family, maybe I want to marry a sister mother. I don't want to have to divorce her, because then I won't be able to marry those people. And based upon this, we have similar statements about how much a woman would prefer to be married. Abai Omar, the Shum Shimona Gavra, even if her husband is a very diminutive person, he is, as Rashi says over here, a very short person. He is Marshall Hedger, who, this is a popular aphorism that people say, Misha Bala Kotun Kinemola, is a very, very short husband. So nevertheless, Kurse Be Harosa Romila, as Rashi tells us, she puts her chair, Kisa Bain Hasoros Binos Chorin, she puts her chair next to all the other married women, Moshiva, she sits there. I also have a husband just like you. She's not embarrassed that her husband is a very, very short person. Similarly, Rapop Amar, the Nafsu Gabra, even if her husband does a profession that's a very foul-smelling profession, a very lowly profession, like he's Menafes Tsemer, the Umnis Ma'usa, he spins or weaves the wool, and it's a foul-smelling type of a profession, not a very high-paying profession. Nevertheless, Tikreya Besefe Baba Betesef, she calls out to her husband, she's not embarrassed, right? She says, Eno Bosho, Likroso, Alamilson, Abayis, come sit with me on the footsteps of the house, Leishisham, Etzlo, Bifnei Hakol, and she sits there with him in front of everybody. She's not embarrassed. She has a husband. That's much more important to her than the fact that her husband may be from a relatively low profession. Similarly, Rav Ashi Amar, de kulsa gabra, if her husband is kulsa, Rashi says, mishpachas dopi, from a very questionable lineage, is not a very, very yichastika person. The Aruch has two different interpretations. One is that it's a vegetable watcher, which again is a very lowly profession, or alternately, he says it's a Greek word that means for ridicule. So her husband is ridiculed. So in all of these situations, again, lo boy talbeche likidra, she doesn't even ask him to go and provide her adashim, Rashi says, lento, vegetables, which is a maichul kal, very inexpensive and light type of a food. Doesn't cost a lot of money. The eichas are in kiss, kol kach. Nevertheless, eino shavala simanu. She doesn't even ask for that. Better, at least, ach yikwa shemo aleh, as long as she can use his name, so to say. This was my husband, so she's happy. So in all of these situations, Abaye, Rav Papa, and Rav Ashi, they all give examples over here how a woman would always prefer to be married, rather, even if the husband is not so glamorous and not such a well-thought-of person, to be married is much better than to be single. Tavel meisav tamdu, mil meisav armelu. But then the Gemara brings down, there's another underlying reason over here. Tana within the Braisa. It's because all of these women now have a hetter to fool around and do whatever they want, Rahman al-Islam. The Hulu Mizanos Visolos Bivaleya. Now, as Rashi tells us, they can go be Mizana, Kolelu, Shabaleim Shvelim. All these women who have these low-life husbands, relatively speaking. So Maris Lemchiba, it looks like they love them so much. No, that's not it. It's now they can go be Mizana, and if they get pregnant, they say it's my husband's child and not the person that they're fooling around with. So therefore, this gives them a little bit of a get out of jail card free to do whatever they want on the side because they're quote married. Now, just one additional point. The Shita Mikubetzes brings down the Ritva and says, when we talked about being Mizbaza in front of the Beis Din, so why couldn't the husband go and be a Shaliach for her? So he points out that even that is considered a Bizoyo because he would have to publicize that his wife made a Neder. So even though his wife doesn't technically have to go, he could go and be a Shaliach on her behalf to be Matir Neder. Right? That's what some people do when they're Matir Neder for themselves. They're also Matir Neder for their wives. And many have the minhag that the wives don't go to be Matir Neder. The husband, so to say, is Matir Neder for the wives as well. So it's still a Bizoyo, the Ritva says, for her to have her the fact that she was an Adronis to be known in public. Now we quote the Mishnah again. The Mishnah said, "Kol mumim shepasul v'chule." We said that there's certain type of mumim that are passeling a kohen, so they also passel a woman in marriage that would be a mekach tos. But then the Braisa tells us there are other mumim. Tana hosifu aleim. There were additional mumim that only apply to a woman that don't apply to make a kohen not able to do the avoda. And what are these? Zeya, if there's a tremendous amount of sweat, vishuma, or she has certain type of a, Rashi will be translated as verua, which is some type of a wart or a mole, and if she has vireach hapeh, if she has halitosis, if she has bad breath. All of these are a mum by a woman, but not a mum by a kohen. So where it says, Vahani b'kohani, lo pasli, really? These aren't mum by a kohen? But we learned in the Mishnah tells us, Mishnah Bechorah says that Vatnan has Zokain. If you have, now it's first talking about animals, but the same thing applies to a Kohen. Any mum that's by an animal also applies to a Kohen. So it says if the animal is an old animal, has Zokain, Vachola, it's a sickly animal, Vehamezuam, it's a foul smelling animal. And Rashi says that this would include this Zeya and Reach HaPeh are included in Mezuam. So just like an animal or a Kohen can't be Mezuam, so that would imply that the Kohen can't have the halitosis, he can't have the bad breath, and he can't have a lot of schwitzing, he can't have a lot of perspiration. And how can you tell me that this only applies to the woman and doesn't apply to a Kohen? Utanan, mumim elu, these mumim, the Mishnah Ferta tells us, bein kvuin bein ovrim, whether they are a permanent mum or whether they're a transitory mum, which means that they're present right now, but they'll go away on their own after some period of time, Pisulin beyond them. They are, in fact, going to disqualify the Kohen from doing the Avoda. So how can you tell me that these only apply to a woman and not to the Kohen? You see clearly that Mezuam does apply to the Kohen. So what it says, Amar Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Yossi, who's the son of Rabbi Chanina, says, Lokash, it's not a stira. Why not? Kan bezeya overes. It's stealing over here, the Bryce that it says that it doesn't apply to a Kohen, is talking about where it's a temporary situation. It comes and it goes. So when it's present, he can do something about it. But with the Zeya Sheino Averis, it's present all the time, so then it would even disqualify for a Kohen because there's nothing he can do about it. That's the first Teretz, Rav Yossi Ruchanina. Of course, there's a whole discussion, the difference between a transitory and a temporary type of a mum. So I explained it basically with the understanding of Tosus. Rav Ashi is the second Teretz. Rav Ashi Amar, Zeya Amezuham Karamis. You're asking me the difference between the perspiration by a woman and the perspiration by a Kohen? That's your problem? That one should be a mum, so the other should be a mum too? No. Hasam Gabe Kohanim, the Kohen, he has to do the Avoda. They're on one every 24 weeks, and only one day out of that week. So today, he knows he's going to do the Avoda. Efshali Abra B'kiyua D'chamra. Guess what? Go and take a bath in some sort of a vinegar type of a bath, and this way you'll be able to remove the bad smell and the perspiration from you. Likewise, with the bad breath, the halitosis, go put a pepper in your mouth. That would somehow be the equivalent of putting Listerine in your mouth, putting in a nice sweetener in your mouth. And then, when you're taking the bath or you put the sweet in your mouth, you do the avoda. And while you're doing the avoda, you won't have the schwitzing and you won't have the bad breath. So therefore, that's a temporary thing. I need to do it for 3 hours. It'll work for 3 hours. But the woman, Avagabi Isha, what? She's only going to do this for 3 hours? What about the rest of the time? She's with her husband 24/7. Loefsha. It's impossible to live with such a woman, and therefore that's why these are considered women. Again, if the husband wishes to live with them, he knows about them, he's willing to accept them, gesund hate. So, not a problem. But if he didn't know about them, these are considered a mum, that would be grounds for divorce, and it could even be a mekach tos, depending on the status of the mum. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Hai shuma hechi damya. What exactly is this mum of shuma, this mole or this wart? If you're telling me Idis Beisayar, if it has hair in it, so then Hoch Vach Basla, then not only by a woman, this would also be absorbed by a Kohen. If you're telling me Idalois Basayar, it doesn't have hair in it, so then it depends on the size of the Shuma. Ishuma Gidoli, if it's a very large type of a mole or a wart, so then Hoch Vach Basla, it's possible by a woman and by the Kohen. And if it's not Ishuma Kitana, if it's a very small type of a wart or a mole, and it doesn't have hair in it, so then Hoch Vach Basla, not only by the Kohen, but it's not even going to be absorbed by the woman. And I'll show you that this is true, the Tanya, because we learned in the Brayso. So it tells us what type of warts or moles possel the Kohen. Shuma sheish baseyo, if it has hair in it, so then it definitely possels. Harezem mum. Okay. Ein baseyo, if it doesn't have serosa, then it depends on the size. Gedola, if it's a large size mum, harezem mum, then it's considered mum. So if the mole or the wart is a certain size, which we'll see in a moment how much that is, so then that's considered a valid mum. Kitana, but if it's smaller than that size, ein mum, it's not considered a mum, if it doesn't have hair in it. Bezor Yigdolo knew what is this size. So Pirish from Shimon Gamaliel, Adki Isar Italki. It's a certain type of Italian coin known as Isar Italki, which is going to be the size that it, if it's above that, it's considered a mum. If it's below that, it's not considered a mum. So how can you tell me that there's a difference between a coin and a woman? It seems that they're the exact same by the Shuma. So again, we have two terutzim. Amar Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, he says, if it's on her forehead, so then if it's very small, so it wouldn't ruin it by a kohen, but it would ruin it by the woman. So where it says, padachta, ra, v'nifayisu. How can you tell me that that would be a mum? The husband sees it, obviously, so it shouldn't be a mum. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Papa, here we have the real explanation, so to say, the second teretz. It was underneath her hair covering, some sort of a hat that she was wearing. So there's no guarantee that the husband saw it. So it's possible she was trying to hide it from him. So therefore, he never saw it. Now, when they're alone and they're married, so he sees it, so he says, oh, I can't live with such a mum, and therefore, I want to give her a divorce. That's considered a mum that he would divorce her for. Whereas by the Kohen, it's small enough that it's not considered a significant mum. Furthermore, Amar Reb Chista, Reb Chista tells us, Hamilsa migav Rabbi Shmieli umanu Rabbi Shila. I heard this following brought about today from a great man, and that person was Rabbi Shila. And what did he say? Nishocha kelev, if a dog bit her, v'nasa makomo tzalekes, and after it healed, in the place where she had the dog bite, she had a scar. Tzalekes is, Rashi says, a scar. Shenishar Shom Roshem, it's left a mark there, Mishchiyasa Hamako, even when the Maka is healed. Nevertheless, there's a scar over there. So in that situation, it is considered harezem mum. Amar Chisda, Amar Chisda further says, "Kol ova beisha." If she has a very deep voice, a thick voice, harezem mum. That's also considered mum because shenemar, as the pasuk tells us, "Shir Hashirim." Ki kolech orev umarech nabe. If she has a sweet voice and she has a nice appearance, so then that is considered a beautiful woman. But if this woman has a very thick voice, a male, a masculine type of a voice, so then that's considered a mum. Now, why do we have all this discussion about all these mums? So the Ma'ariv Shiv tells us a very interesting idea, which is a prelude to the Gemara that we're about to say, which was going to raise some eyebrows. In any event, the Ma'ariv Shiv says, the reason we have to know all these definitions of what's considered a beautiful woman and not considered a beautiful woman, because if a man were to make a tenai that he's married to this woman on the condition that she is a muflog binor, that she's an excessively beautiful woman, an extremely beautiful woman, so we need to know, how do you define that? Because we come to basis and say, no, she's not beautiful. And the woman or the husband, or the father of the woman is going to say, she is a beautiful woman. And the husband will say, no, she's not a beautiful woman. She's not the muflog nor that I was promised. So then we have to define that. It's a halachic definition. So the Ma'arim Shif says that that's why we have this entire piece of Gemara now. In any event, Tani Rabbi Nosson Birah, Rinasim Birah tells us that if the woman's breasts are formed in a certain way, bein dadi isha tefach, if there's a large space in between the breasts, so that is considered something. Now, we first want to say that that's considered a positive thing. So, he first wanted to suggest that this is a positive thing. If there's a large space of at least a tefach in between the breasts of the woman, that's considered, he thought, a very good thing. So, Amalei Ravashi, Ravashi tells him, no, Gabi Mumentanya, this brisa was included amongst all the women, so obviously it's a bad thing. So if there's that much space between the breasts, that's considered a mum. No, what's considered nice, the kama is good. So Amar Abayi, shalosh etzbos. If you only have three finger breasts, as opposed to a tefach, which is four finger breasts, so three is considered beautiful, and if it's more than four, so then that's not considered beautiful. Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Kalisha Shedadeh, Gasi Mishol Chaver Roseh, Harezimum. The woman has very, very large breasts, so that is not considered beautiful, that's considered a mum. Nu v'kama, how much is that? So Amar Miyasha, Bar Berei, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Miyasha, who was the grandson of Yeshua ben Levi, he said this over Mishmei, the Yeshua ben Levi, he said it over the name of the Zayda, he said tefach, if they are a tefach. So one says, Umika ki haigavna, who has such breasts that are a tefach larger than everybody else's average breasts. So the Gemara says, yeah, it does happen sometimes. In. And we see a case, Dama Rabba Bar Barchana. And here we see Arviya Achas. I myself saw once an Arab woman, Sheif Shila Dadele Chorea Feniko has been not. Is possibly a Lashon Guzba, but he's saying basically she slung her breast over her back and was able to nurse her child from behind. That is considered an excessively large breast that is considered a mum. Again, the Maharam shifts explanation that we need to know these dinim because of the definition of muflag binah. So that, I think, makes a lot of sense now to understand this Gemara. Gemara continues, since we mentioned, Rashi says, one member from Rav Miyasha, this grandson of Rav Shubin Levi, so we met another member in his name. We'll see on, we first quote the pasuk that we have from Tehillim. The pasuk tells us, Ulzioni Yomar, Ish the Ish, Yulad Boy uses a double lush on Ish the Ish are born there, the Huyachonina El Yon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will establish them on high. So what does this mean? So Amar Miyasha, Babri the Rishu Belevi, so the grandson of Rishu Belevi, Rav Miyasha tells us this is talking about Echad and Olad Ba, the Echad and Mitzapelu Rosa, one who was born in Eretz Yisrael and one who was born outside of Eretz Yisrael but wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's what the pasuk is talking about. So both of these people will eventually be brought to Eretz Yisrael. Now, Amar Abaye says, B'chad minayu odif kitrei minon. Abaye tells us that one of the people who lives in Eretz Yisrael is better than two of us. In other words, the Avira of Eretz Yisrael is Machkima. We have a famous idea that living in Eretz Yisrael makes a person smarter. So Abaye, who lived in Babel, tells us that the people who live in Eretz Yisrael are twice as good as we are. They're better than we are. Eretz Yisrael, Avira, the Eretz Yisrael, Machkima. But Rabba says, I'm a Rabba. V'chad minon, kisalik lahasam. But if somebody goes up from Babel and he goes to Eretz Yisrael, then he becomes twice as good as them. So if a person is in Eretz Yisrael versus a person in Babel, in general, the person in Eretz Yisrael is twice as good as the person in Babel. But when a Babylonian goes up to Eretz Yisrael, so then he becomes twice as good as the person in Babel. In other words, he has a fourfold improvement. The Ben Yehuda has a very cute idea over here. He says that the pasuk says, Ebra no, the Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ebra no, let me go in there. So the word Ebra is Arba. He wanted to have this fourfold increase from being in Chutz Laaretz to going to Eretz Yisrael. When you're in Chutz Laaretz, you're half of what you're in Eretz Yisrael. When you go to Eretz Yisrael from Chutz Laaretz, you become twice as great as Eretz Yisrael. That's a fourfold increase. So Ebra no is the play on this idea. He wanted the fourfold increase. That's why he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. Ben Yehuda also adds that they have only one day of Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. We have 2 days in Chutz Laaretz because of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos. They're able to accomplish in one day all the things that need to be accomplished, which takes us 2 days to go and accomplish that same idea. Okay, very nice. In any event, we have the following: the Rabbi Yirmiya the Chihaba Hocha. When Rabbi Yirmiya was in Babel, so he was always asking all sorts of kashas, and they threw him out of the Beis Medrash. Lo have yada my kamer rabbanon, and therefore he didn't really know and understand fully what the chachamim were teaching. However, kisalik lasim went to Eretz Yisrael kari lan, so that he increased his wisdom so much, so he was called kari lan. He called us in Babel bavloi tipshoy. He called us all the Babylonians that were tipshin. In other words, he was really machkima in Eretz Yisrael so much more so than when he was in Babel. The Ritva brings down a very beautiful idea as well. He says, when a person goes to Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't have his family with him to distract him. and therefore he is able to be so much more successful. Alternatively, he says he left the Tum of Chutz Laaretz, and now he's in the holy Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, the holy environs of Eretz Yisrael, and that increases his wisdom. The Ma'aril adds over here that above all, the people were physically stronger, so they had to work so much harder in Chutz Laaretz. They had to be stronger than they were in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, they were able to accomplish anything in Bavel compared to Eretz Yisrael because a tribute to their strength. But therefore, when they took that strength and they went to Eretz Yisrael, they were able to be Zocha so much more so. So I always loved science fiction when I was younger. So I was always thinking this idea is like a person who's, let's say, born on the planet Jupiter, with much heavier gravity and a heavier mass of the planet. So if he were to come to Earth, he would be so much stronger than everybody on Earth, because the difficulties that he had to live with on the Jupiter, now he has a lower gravity. When the astronauts went to the moon and they were able to jump, they could jump very, very far. They could hit a golf ball hundreds of yards, as opposed to on Earth, where they're weighted down. So when the person from Bubble who has that like Jupiter strength, when he goes to Eretz Yisrael, so then he'll be able to accomplish so much more. Very beautiful idea from the Ma'aral Miprak. Okay, let's go right to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Hayuba Mumin, if the woman had Mumin, the old of the base of while she was in her father's house. So in other words, after the Erisin, so she's found to have Mumin. She hasn't had the Nisun yet. So Av Tzorech Lavi Raya, Sheminishis Arisa Hayuba Mumin. So the father has to go bring a Raya if he wants to say that, listen, this isn't our fault. This happened, so to say, under your domain, under your dominion, because she didn't have this mumim when she was living alone with me before she was Nisarsa. And now she got this mumim while she was Nisarsa. If she was Nisarsa, so then it's under your watch, so to say. And therefore, it's your problem, husband, her future husband, and it's you can't divorce her because she has mumim. So if the father is to be correct and be believed, he has to bring proof. That these mumim were not present before the marriage, before the erusin, and only occurred after the erusin in order for it to be under his domain. And he can tell him, and it's, so to say, your problem. It's your field that was overturned, and therefore, your field, it's your problem, and you can't go and divorce it because she has mumim. However, once she's already nichlasa l'nisuin, nichlasa l'shus abal, she had nisuin, and then the husband says, hey, she has this mumim, so abal tzorech lavi raya, shela achelu nisarisa hayubam mumayelu. So then the husband has to go and bring the proof that these mumim were present before the erisin. And therefore, v'hayu mekel mekach tos, and that's why he's allowed to divorce her. But if he can't bring the proof in this situation, so then it's his problem. In the first situation, the father has to bring the proof that the mumim were not present when she was pre-erusin and only occurred after she was in Arusa in order for her to not have a mekach tos. Whereas here, the husband has to go bring the proof that the mumim were present before the erusin, otherwise it's considered not a mekach tos, and he has to absorb, so to say, the mumim. That's opinion of Meir. Chacham disagree. Chacham omrim, b'medvar mamurim, what are we talking about over here? B'mumim shebeseise. We're only talking about over here, this machlokes is only when you're dealing with mumim that are covered up. In other words, parts of the body that wouldn't normally be seen by somebody who's not the woman's husband. So therefore, in this situation, you can have the machlokes as to when the mum occurred. Did it occur before the erusin or did it occur after the erusin? Is it, so to say, under the pre Chosin domain, and therefore it's a mekach tov. So no, it occurred while she was under his domain, and it's his problem, his tough luck. But avul b'mumim shebegali, return to ayin hayomid beis. But if it's something that's open on her face, on her arms, which are visible, so then any cholito, how can you make any such claim that I didn't know about this mum? You're obviously able to see it, and you obviously accepted it, and now you can't come and claim afterwards that you didn't accept it. As Rashi points out, the yada v'dispayis, you obviously knew about it, and it didn't bother you. However, the Chacham add further, and they say that if there was a merichotz in that city, so then we have to assume even the mumim shebeseiser, and a yochel liton. He can't go and claim, oh, I can't tolerate those mumim, because we have to assume it may shu bot go bikrov usap, that either his relatives, some say it doesn't have to literally be his relatives, it has to be that the other people would see her in the bathhouse, and she can't hide those mumim, and therefore the Chacham would say that in that situation, he would know about the mumim. Somebody would tell him, his relatives or some other women would go and tell him, listen, you should know your kala has this mum and you still want to marry her. So since he probably knew that and he was willing again to accept it, so therefore he has no taina. The opinion of the Tanakama is, however, that no, that we can't assume that. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, Taima de maisi of raya. The reason why over here is that we're saying that the husband only has to pay the ksuba if the father brings a raya that these mumim were occurring only after the erusin. That's implying halo ma'isi of raya habal mammon. In that situation, we believe the husband to say that he didn't know about this woman, and therefore he doesn't want to marry her, and he doesn't have to give it a ksuba. So whose opinion is this? Mani, Rabbi Yeshua hid. Yamalomi pinu anu chayin. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, who we had earlier in the Masechta, very early in the Masechta, in Daf Yud Beis. We had a machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Rabban Gamliel as to whether we believe the woman or we don't believe the woman. So Rabbi Yeshua said over there that we don't believe the woman. Lomi pia anu chayin. Rabbi Yeshua said there the Omar lomi pia anu chayin. So too he says over here we don't go and believe her. In that situation on Daf Yud Beis, she said that she had been Nebuch violated after the Erusin, and therefore that you're charging that I'm not a Besula, it's unfortunately Nistab Chosadei. It happened under your watch, under your domain, and therefore it's your problem, not my problem. So Rabbi Yeshua said, we don't believe her. I'm sorry, Dama Lomi Pia Nuchayim. Unless you have proof, we don't believe her. So just like he said it over there, he says it over here too. But the Gemara says, wait a second, Ema Seifa. The next part of the Mishnah said that if she's in the Rishus of the husband already, she went to Nisuin, Nivsa Lushus Habal, Habal Tzorich Lovi Raya. Then we said the husband has to go bring a Raya that the Mum occurred before the Erisin, because we don't believe the husband right now. Taima, the Maisi Abar Raya. So we only believe the husband if he brings a Raya. Halo Maisi Abar Raya of Mammon. If we don't bring a Raya from the husband, so then we believe the father to say, no, this Mum occurred only once she was already in Arusa. So that's like the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. Also, Rabban Gamliel says, the Omer Nemenes, that we do believe her. So you have the Reisha, Rabbi Yeshua, and the Sefer, Rabban Gamliel. That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, you're right. Omer Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Tavra. Rashi says, Tavra means it's smashed. The Tav and the Shin are interchangeable. So Tavra means Shavra. It's broken. It's smashed. Obviously, the one is the Reisha. Can't be the author of the Sefer. Tosu says, it's slightly different interpretation. The Dibur Masal Tavra, he brings on Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel. Sure, it's a Lashon of a Shvua. That I swear that this isn't the case. It's a Lashon Shvua. In any event, Amar B'Elazar, the Amar B'Elazar says, clearly it's true, Tabra, it's broken, it's clear, it's a Lashon Shvua, Misha Shanazu, the one who's the author of the Reisha, Lo Shanazu. He can't be the author of the Sefer. Very simple. Amar Rava, however, says, Lav Dafka. Don't say across the board that Rabbi Yeshua never holds that we go after the Chazaka. So, Lo Tema Rishua Lo Azu Basa Chazaka, the Gufa Kla. Don't say that Rishua doesn't say that we follow the Chazaka. He says that we don't trust the woman, Lo Mipia Anu Chayin, we don't listen to her, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't say we follow the Chazaka. Because, Ella, Kilo Azu Rabbi Yudu Basa Chazaka, the Gufa, when does Rabbi Yeshua say we don't follow the Chazaka, the Guf? That is, Hecha de Iko Chazaka de Mora. That's here because you'll be extracting money based upon this Chazaka. However, when you're not extracting money, so then, Aval Hecha de Leka Chazaka de Mora, when you don't have the Chazaka, the money is in the possession of the husband. And the woman says, if you want to divorce me, you have to give me the ksuba. So she's taking away money from him. Then we don't follow the chazaka. But if you're not talking about taking away money, so then even Rabbi Yeshua agrees. Also, Rabbi Yeshua, bossa chazaka de gufa. Rabbi Yeshua goes and follows the chazaka of the guf. Now, what do we mean by following the chazaka of the guf? So the Gemara says, I'll show you. Now, we have the gears of the Tanya, but in the Masoros HaShas, he says it's really a Mishnah that we have in the Goyim. It should be Ditnan. And it says, in Baheres, kodim l'seir olavon, if the Baheres have a certain type of a lesion, predates the Seir Lavan, so then it's Tomei. However, im Seir Lavan kodim leBaharis, if the Seir Lavan was there first, and then you had the lesion, the Baharis, so then it's not a lesion of Tzaras, it's Tar. And when there's a doubt, if it's a Safek, whether the hair was there first or the Baharis was there first, so then Tomei. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. And along comes Rabbi Yeshua and says, no, we rely upon the Chazaka, and Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Keya. What does Keya mean? My Keya? I'm a Rabbah. It means Keya, it means Tar. Rashi has two different interpretations. What exactly does it mean? How do we get to Keya? Either it means that it has now gotten much less strong, it's weakened, and therefore it's tar, or that the Nega has gotten a weaker appearance, but he brings that from Moshe Darshan, Shemati Vishua Keya, my Keya means Amar Rabbah Keya Vitiya, Klomar Keya Badova Vinechlach Aleim Vitiya. So it's a machlokis over here, and therefore we can pass it over here. Lekula ki adam shenikehu shinov al adam shein mashkiach ledvarv. It's like a clearer way. I'm not listening to what you said. In other words, the bottom line is that Rabbi Yeshua does hold you to follow the chazaka. The chazaka was that she is tahora, and she stays tahora in this situation. So don't tell me that Rabbi Yeshua never follows the chazaka. We see that Rabbi Yeshua does follow the chazaka sometimes. It's only when it comes to a chazaka that would be taking away money that Rabbi Yeshua says that we don't follow that chazaka. More continues, however, with another teretz now, Rav Omar, that Reisha kan nimtzu v'kan hayu, and Sefer Nami kan nimtzu v'kan hayu. Instead of suggesting, like we originally thought that the first part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua, the second part of the Mishnah is Rabban Gamliel, and that the two obviously aren't the same, Tavra, as we said. Rabbi says, no, we can learn the whole thing like Rabban Gamliel. The Mefarshim bring that. We could have also said, Rashi points out, that we learn the whole thing like Rabbi Yeshua. However, since Rashi points out that Rava Mahadil Ukma Kula Krabun Gamliel, as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua, because Dokminin Hilchaso Kavase Beperikama. So we want a paskin like Rabban Gamliel, so therefore he'd rather have the entire Mishnah like Rabban Gamliel. So how do you learn it? As follows. You learn it that the Reisha is talking about Kan Nimtzu. This is where you found her when she was in her father's house. So we say, V'kan Hoyu, they were there even before the Erisin. As opposed to in the Seifa, Nami Kam Nimtzu, they were only found when they were in the Chosin's house, so therefore, V'kan Hoyu, Mistama, that's where they started. So therefore, the whole thing is actually going according to Rabban Gamliel. But the Reish and the Sefer aren't contradictory to each other. Abaye questions this, however. Eisvei Abaye, Abaye says, Nechnesol Rishus Habal, Habal Tzorech Lovi Raya. We said that if she goes into the Rishus of the Baal, so then at that point the Baal has to go and bring a Raya if he doesn't wish to pay the Ksub, but to say that She'at Shalotis Iris, Hayubo Mumin Elu, that the Mumin actually came before the Erisin. And therefore the acquisition, the Mekach over here, the Kiddushin, was a Mekach Tos. So that implies Ach lo tis'ares in, Misha tis'ares lo. That only implies that if the Mumim were there before the Erisin, so then we say that he's entitled not to pay the Ksuba. But if the Mumim occurred after the Erisin, then he would be obligated to pay the Ksuba. V'mai, lemo, kan nimtzu, v'kan hoyu. Why don't we say in this situation that if they were found in her father's house, so therefore that's where the Mumim were. They were there even before the Erisin. Not Achelot Osiris in Mishtaris Lo. It should be no matter what. As long as they were found while she was not yet in the sewer, the din should be based upon the idea that it's all Rabban Gamliel. So then it should be whether they were found before the Erisin or after the Erisin while she was still in father's house. We should say, Kanim Tzu Kan Hoyu. So Rabba says no. Amale, Rabba say to Abaye, Mishin Osirisa, if we only find out that the woman were present once she was already in Arusa, you know what we would say? Mishum de'ikel emeimar, because we could add chazaka in adam shose because Elohim came bodko, that we have a rule that a person wouldn't go and drink from a cup unless he first checked it out. In other words, he wouldn't have gone into Eretzin with her unless he checked her out. So from the fact that he went into the Eretzin, that's an additional proof that the woman were not present until she was underneath his domain, and then this tafko sadeu. So therefore, he has to pay the ksuba if he doesn't want to stay married with her. So therefore, you have two things over here. V'hai, ra, v'nifayesu. He must have known about it and accepted it. And therefore, that's why he has to pay the ksuba. He has accepted it. Ra, he saw it, v'nifayesu. However, Abai's not happy with that. He says, if that were true, ihachi, achlo tisari snami, then the same din should apply even if she had the mumim present even before the erisin. We should say, well, he should have known about them. He wouldn't have ever entered Nisuin if he didn't accept them. Why don't we say over there, Ra v'nifayisu? I obviously, El Amrinon, Chazaka ain't other nifayis for Mumim, because we have a Chazaka against it, because a person doesn't generally accept Mumim. So just like he doesn't accept them before the Nisuin, Hochanami, Chazaka ain't other nifayis for Mumim, so we should say over here, he doesn't accept them either in this case. Hochanami, even if he shows that the mumim came after the erisin, we have a chazaka. You know, the mafias b'mumim. He wouldn't go into the nisuin with her. So it doesn't make any difference then, according to Abaye, whether the mumim were present before the erisin or after the erisin. We have a chazaka. You know, the mafias b'mumim. And that would contradict the chazaka of ein adam shoseh because elam came bodka. So we're back to our original problem. Abaye says to Rava. Rava answers, no. Elam ishinis arsa, after the erisin, we have two. In addition to the idea that we would say that a person ain't adam shoseh because elam kein bodko, you have something else. Hamid haguf al cheskoso. We assume the guf is the way that it was, and therefore chazaka that the woman didn't have a mum at birth. We're obviously talking about something that's not congenital. So she had some sort of a mum that occurred at some point in time. So it's a chazaka that she didn't have it while she was pre-erusin. Now we find it, so we have to say that until now she didn't have such a mum, and the mum occurred after the erisin. And when you combine that with the chazaka, you know the b'shoseh because Elohim came b'odko, you have two And we say that he saw this mum and he must have accepted it. So you have two factors that go against. Are you going to tell me, my arm is chazok, a person doesn't normally accept mumim? So in this situation, and we turn to Ayin Vav and Aleph, have a chada b'makom tarti. It's two against one. You have two chazakas against one. The chada b'makom tarti, lo amrinan. And therefore, the chazak of a person not accepting the mum doesn't have legs to stand on when it's against two chazakas against it. So if the mum occurs after the erusin, if that's all that he can prove, so then he has to pay the ksuba. However, achalotisaris, if the mum occurred before the erusin, so then you have two chazakas that go in his favor. You no longer say, well, she didn't have a mum. Here, he can prove that she didn't have a mum. So therefore, that chazaka is essentially not going to be helpful. So what are you going to say? Ma'ika, so you only have one chazaka that a person in Mustama accepted it. He saw it and accepted it. No, other rabbi. You have the chazaka. Here you now can say it's one against one. So you don't have a clear-cut way that you should go, one way versus the other. So therefore, Hamotzi b'chaveiro l'haraya, and therefore the money stays with him, and he doesn't have to pay the ksuba in this situation. So Baruch Hashem, we did catch up a full another amud, and Baruch Hashem, with this we conclude today's share.